Good morning. It's Friday, Baruch Hashem. Friday is the day that we do a sikkum, a summary of the sugya that we learn during that week. So this week's sugya on Parshas Lech Lecha is based on the concept that we see in our Parsha of Bris Mila. We see it, Vakimosi as Brisi Yito, HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to Avram Avinu that you're going to have a son Yitzchak and he's going to have a Bris Mila, and that's what we're going to have as a covenant between me and you and all future generations. So we started out our sugya by saying, why do we have in particular a seuda at a bris mila, a festive meal? And we brought various reasons. We'll just mention a couple of them. One of them, probably the most famous, is as it's learned from Avram Avinu. Vayas Avram Mishta Gadol Bayom Higamel at Yitzchak. Avram made a festive meal on the day that Yitzchak was Higamel. And the drush is Hey Gimel, which is 5 and 3, is a total of 8 mal. We have on the 8th day the Mila. So that is that Avram made a Mishta Gadol on the day of Yitzchak's Mila. And in fact, the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer tells us that Mikan Amru Chachamim, we learn from Avram Avinu that we are obligated to have a Simcha Mishta on the day that a father does the Mila for his child like Avram Avinu. We also saw that the same applied when Yisro had his bris, based on the explanation of the Ramban, that Klal Yisrael had a celebratory meal at that time. Our next question that we went on to was, is this a deoraisa or derabanan or minhag to have the meal? And we brought various opinions on this. Some saying it's a deoraisa to have the meal after a bris, some say derabanan, some say a minhag. In fact, the language of the Shulchan Aruch is nohagim lasa su'uda biyom amil, it's a minhag. However, that should not downplay the significance. The Orzarua and the Ramah says that it's a su'udas mitzvah. Just to mention also, the Matan Moshe says very interestingly, he says mila. We have a remez, we have a hint to the concept of a festive meal on the day of a mila. Mila mem yud lamed hey spells out mishte yaseh lechol hakruim. Mishte yaseh lechol hakruim, that you should have a mishte for everyone who is participating at the bris mila. So our next question was, do we need 10 people at the bris mila? In fact, the Shulchan Aruch says, if we can, we should have 10 at the mila. If you can't, you go for it anyway. We brought various reasons for this. Just to mention a couple, the Chachmat Adam says it's pirsume mitzvah. We want to be mefarsim and publicize the mitzvah. We also brought an opinion that it is like birkas hagomel. Birkas hagomel, when somebody, for example, comes out of jail, he says birkas hagomel, thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of 10. So too, this is effectively the birkas hagomel for getting out of the mother's womb. It's just like getting out of jail in front of 10 people. So that's why ideally we have 10 at the bris. Just to mention also, even though 10, that's the minimum, we should try to increase that. The concept of the bris is kakablas pnei ashchina. That's how significant it is. So we should have a concept. We do apply the concept of Buravaham Hatras Melech. The more the merrier in such a situation. So getting on to the question of, how about inviting people to a bris mila? Because we know that typically people don't invite, they simply inform. Why is this? So we brought the Gemara Psachim that says there are 7 categories of people who are effectively excommunicated from heaven. And then there's a Yesh Omrim, an additional opinion, Af Mishein Meisib B'chabura Shel Mitzvah. The same thing applies, that somebody who is does not dine at a chabura of shel mitzvah. So the same concept applies. It's menuna l'shamayim as well. So in fact, the Tosfos explains 2 explanations. What does that mean? Somebody who doesn't dine in a chabura of shel mitzvah, either somebody who doesn't eat in a bris mila or somebody who doesn't eat in certain chasana. So in the Ramah, paskind accordingly, anyone who doesn't eat in a sudas bris mila is excommunicated. So accordingly, some of the poskim bring down, initially the Sharvit Hazav said this as follows, so don't invite people, and accordingly, if they don't attend, they won't be minuna lashamayim, they won't effectively excommunicate it. But if we're inviting them and they refuse to come, they don't come, then we're setting them up for problems because they were invited and still they didn't come. So the minhag developed, and this is brought by a number of poskim, rather than inviting to a bris mila, we simply inform people of the time and place and leave it at that. Now, even if somebody is invited, that doesn't mean that they are absolutely obligated to go under all circumstances, and if not, they are menuna la shamayim. We brought various times that we indeed could be lenient For example, there's an opinion that says that there's a chiyuv to participate in the Suda only if you're there. But if you're not there for the bris, it doesn't mean that you're obligated to participate in the Suda. There is, based on a Ramah, that if there are people who are einam mehugagnim, they're just not good people, not proper people to be hanging out with, so it'd be permitted to not attend. One doesn't have to attend to be mevatel Torah. That's a discussion in the postgame. Who that does that apply to? Who does that not apply to? One does not have to mish or should not miss tefillah b'tzibur minyan in order to make a bris milah. If somebody has something to do for their parnasa, has to be at that job. So we have all of these scenarios, situations that indeed we could be lenient, even if somebody is invited, and to not go to the bris milah. And our final question was, why is a milah different from a nisuin? That we brought the Gemara that said that somebody who doesn't participate, doesn't dine in a chabura shel mitzvah, is menuda lashamayim. And Tosos brought two explanations. One was somebody who doesn't go to a bris milah, and one who does not go to a chasana. So why are we lenient and we invite people to a chasana, to weddings, and we're only strict about a bris milah? So one of the explanations that we brought is the Tshuvas van Hagos, Rav Moshe Sternbach, that when it comes to wedding, if you look at Tosos, he didn't say this applies to all weddings. It's only the wedding of a Talmud Chacham, marrying the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, a Kohen marrying the daughter of a Kohen. So it's very limited when this would apply. And in addition, nowadays, for many dinim, we don't have this concept of somebody being a real Talmud Chacham. So based on that, we would be able to be lenient in most, if not all, chasanas to not attend. Another explanation we saw is that there's a difference between a wedding and a bris, because a bris doesn't take too much of our time, so we should be stricter on going. But a chasana that takes a lot more time, then if we really can't attend, we have other things that we need to attend to, so we can be lenient. So because of that, we would be permitted even to invite to weddings, because we are more lenient in the requirement of going. And that is a recap of our topic. Have a wonderful day.